I don't think it gets any easier being a parent or a grandparent these days. Around us, we find that we live in stressful times. It's hard, isn't it, making decisions about your children's future, having to decide which kindergarten, which school. There are lots of things that we have to choose about for our children. And making the right choices that are going to have a lifetime's effect can be very, very difficult for us. Sometimes we agonise over those choices that we have to make. It's hard making choices for our children and decisions for our children, especially wise decisions, ones that are going to last and be godly. It's hard making choices and decisions for ourselves, isn't it? Knowing the best way to navigate through life so that we're going to make the right kind of decisions. We find that the world we live in today puts lots of pressure upon us. We find in our work situation, our home situation, you might be a little bit like this lady here, but it just seems like there's mountains and mountains of paperwork and you're never going to get through it all because there's so much out there that's weighing upon your mind. How do we make wise choices? Well, James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." This wisdom that comes from God. Well, we're a society today that loves quotes. And we've just seen some popular quotes that we've had up on the screen there. Some proverbs, if you like, that we're familiar with. But you can go into a bookstore today and you'll find that there's lots of popular wisdom. There's books and books of things telling you how to do things. And there's lots of it that when you boil it down, it just comes to sentimental life lessons or management pep talk. But what, in fact, is real wisdom? Real wisdom not only observes how life works, but also asks the ultimate questions about how and why life should be lived, how we should live our life to the best. So we come today to the book of Proverbs. And in this particular book, we're going to see over, I think, the next 9 weeks, I think there's a little break in between, we're going to look in depth into this book of Proverbs and see, are there lessons, are there things that we can learn from this book that are going to help us to navigate through life and make wise choices and wise decisions? Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." It's hard for us sometimes to decide what's wise and what is foolish. And the book of Proverbs helps us to see how to do this. First of all, when we begin this book in verse 1 of chapter 1, we see that it identifies Solomon as the writer of the book. Solomon, you remember, was the son of David, the king of Israel. In fact, Solomon was the third king of Israel. He's the main author. There are a couple of other authors we find later in the book of Proverbs as well. In 1 Kings chapter 4, we see that Solomon wrote over 3,000 Proverbs throughout his life. And he had people come from all over the known world at that time to listen to his wisdom, to sit at his feet, and to hear these Proverbs and wise sayings. In the book of Proverbs, we find there are about 300 of Solomon's Proverbs that are quoted. So when we come to Proverbs, what do we think of? Do we think of those one and two line sayings that help us? Sometimes it's very easy for us to quote a proverb without really thinking about the depth of what that proverb's on about. Do we really see this as being guidance for us? Well, when we look in the first few verses, the prologue to the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through to verse 7, tells us what the benefit of Proverbs is. We see here that it provides guidance for those who are simple or those who are naive. It helps us to know how to avoid embarrassment or distress. There's advice here for the young man of being able to judge wisely and objectively. There's also advice here for the person who's a wise person, to help them increase their learning. There's advice there for the man of understanding with wise counsel. So what's the book of Proverbs designed for? It's designed to make a person wise, to learn how to act wisely and righteously, how to treat others with fairness, and it's to give the ignorant common sense and sound advice. Now I wonder if this is available to us, to be able to help us to be wise, then I wonder how often we actually read it. The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs specifically is written in the form of a father giving advice to his son, or a mother giving advice to a son. The parents here are giving wise advice about how to live life. And I'd like to encourage parents and grandparents here this morning perhaps to take some time with your children to read through these first 9 chapters particularly and to unpack them, to go through them, to talk about what this means. Who likes to do puzzles? Lots of people. I know lots of children and adults. My wife loves to do those Sukadoo puzzles. And she can just sit down there and figure them out really quickly. I look at them and, you know, it's just all numbers on the page and, you know, sort of even getting to add up to 9 is a bit hard for me, but she just does them in a whiz and she likes the really super ones, the ones that are for the real brain buster kind of level ones. And she's very, very good at doing them. That's one kind of knowledge, isn't it? Of being able to be good at doing some particular skill or having a special ability. But how do we get wisdom? Wisdom that's talked about here in the book of Proverbs. Let me tell you just a little story to begin. It's a story about in the Wild West of the United States, back in the early days. This old fort is about to be attacked, and the general is got his soldiers inside the fort, and he's got his trusty Native American Indian scout. And he says to the Native Indian American scout, he says, you're to use your 30 years of wisdom to tell me how many are out there, are surrounding the fort. How many enemies do we have? And so the trusty Indian scout lies down on the ground and puts his ear to the ground. And he says, large war party. Maybe 300 braves, 4 chiefs, 2 on black stallions, 1 on a white stallion. They have war paint and many have guns. And a medicine man is with them as well. And the general says, good grief, you can tell all that just from putting your ear down on the ground. And the Indian says, no, I looked underneath the gate. That's one kind of wisdom. But what is the wisdom that's described here in Proverbs? And why is it so valuable? And what are the benefits of wisdom? One definition of wisdom is that it's the ability to apply biblical truths to all life situations. The ability to apply biblical truth to all life situations. For example, your boss yells at you, or your husband or wife yells at you, or your brother or your teacher yells at you. How do you react? Well, you could react in a number of different ways, couldn't you? First of all, you might say something nasty back to them. You might speak to them in a cross voice. Or you might react physically. You might get into fisticuffs with them. Or perhaps, because they've yelled at you, you might play no speakies and not talk to them. Turn your back and say nothing. Or perhaps you react with a soft voice, answering back their anger. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That particular proverb was one that helped me as a teenager in some situations in our family, let me say, where things got a bit heated at times, and I'd become a new Christian and I was led to this particular proverb, and it helped me, and I proved in a number of situations that instead of yelling back or fighting back, that a soft answer calms things down. That's the kind of wisdom that God brings. Wisdom is that insight that helps you decide what's the best thing to do. Another example might be that someone makes unwelcome advances towards you. Again, you could react in several different ways, but wisdom enables you to react in the proper way, in the right way. So the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs tell us the value of having wisdom. We're told in these 9 chapters that the value of having wisdom is that we'll have a prosperous life, a successful life, and we'll guard against many pitfalls and traps, that we'll avoid evil companionship, that we'll look out for immoral women, and we'll be on the lookout also for laziness in our life. This wisdom comes from 2 sources. The first way we can get wisdom is by trial and error. Is that a good way to get wisdom? You try and do something and you work out if it doesn't work. Well, I must admit, that's the way I've often tried to do things. And I found that you waste a lot of time, a lot of lifetime, when you actually try and sort everything out by yourself. And also you find that along the way you make mistakes. We all make mistakes, don't we? And then we have to live with the consequences of those mistakes, some of them that go on and on right through our life into eternity. So one way is trial and error for getting wisdom. And another way is to seek advice, to go to the others who have proven experience. And if you're willing to listen, this has an advantage because it shortcuts the trial and error and it frees us to live life fully, and we're unburdened from the consequences of earlier mistakes. How willing are you to ask for help and advice? One good thing of being part of a church is that, I was going to say we've got lots of older people here, but we've got lots of wise people who we can go to seek advice and counsel from, people who can direct our ways. Those of you who have got children can go to grandparents and seek their wisdom and advice and their proven experience. Now, as we come to the book of Proverbs, we see that as we read through the book of Proverbs, that we find wisdom that's divinely inspired by God, that's been proven true by generations of righteous people who've lived their lives by it. And we find that the Proverbs that are written here for us are easy to recall. They're short, they're easy to remember, and easy to apply. But we need to be reminded that seeking this kind of wisdom takes effort. Proverbs 2:4 says, "We're to look for wisdom as we look for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure." In the first 7 verses of the book of Proverbs, we find the word discipline occurring 3 times. So we need to take the effort, to make the effort, to find this wisdom. James 1:5 helpfully says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Verse 7 gives us the key theme to the whole book of Proverbs. It's sort of like the key that unlocks the book of Proverbs, and we find it occurring a number of times throughout this book. It occurs here in verse 7, it occurs in chapter 9 that we also had read this morning, and it occurs right at the end of the book of Proverbs as well, and a few other times in between. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So where do we find out this wisdom? Where do we find this knowledge? We begin with looking to God, to seeking his ways and his guidance. And this beginning is something that we keep coming back to. It's not like starting a book and we get to the end of the book and then we know it all. That's the end. We put the book back on the shelf. It's almost as if the way that this verse reoccurs throughout the book of Proverbs reminds us that when we get to the end, we go back to the beginning. We need to keep coming back again and again. And it could be that there are folk here this morning who have known this in their lives, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. And it's become a bit stale for you. Perhaps you've been drifting along. And you need to come back again, begin again, to recognise that wisdom is found in God. That's where we begin to look. But the second half of this verse says that fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the fool doesn't want to know about wisdom, doesn't want to discipline their life, doesn't want to seek after God. Perhaps one of the most annoying kind of people that you might come across in life is the person who knows it all. Whatever you say to them, they've always got an answer. Or they're dogmatic in their particular position. And they resent discipline. I'll do it my way, that kind of a person. And Solomon here calls that kind of a person a fool or a foolish person. When we fear the Lord, what do we do? Well, there's a few different responses to this word fear. Sometimes we think, oh, we shouldn't really say fear the Lord because that'll turn people off. They're being scared of God's not what we want to do. We want to attract people. We want to bring people to God. And to say fear the Lord means people are going to be shunning God, not going close to him. But in the scriptures, as we read through the Old and the New Testament, we see that the fear of the Lord is helping us to see that God wants to be known. This is a God who reaches out to us and says, fear me, know me, come close to me. The response of people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, Moses in particular, up on Mount Sinai, where he turns his face away from God. He's fearful of God. He can't look at God. God is just so overwhelming and awesome. And we see often the disciples, after Jesus has performed a miracle, even the calming of the storm, we find the disciples shaking in the boat, and Jesus says, fear not. The same God that we fear is also the one who reaches out and says, don't be frightened. So fearing God means we sometimes are in dread and terror because he's just so amazing and wonderful and great and awesome. But it also means that we stand in awe of him like a king. We look up to him. We revere and we respect him. So to fear him means to honour and respect him, but also to see that he is amazing and that he's worthy of being praised and worshipped. The foolish person despises wisdom. Proverbs 12:15 says, the fool listens only to his own heart. I'd like to now jump ahead to our second reading, which is from Proverbs 9. And here we have a story. It's sort of like this opposition or two rivals between two ladies. A lady wisdom on one hand and a woman folly on the other hand. And the sort of the story goes a bit like this. A young man goes off on a journey, and his journey is to really seek the meaning of life and the purpose of life, a direction in life. And as the young man goes along, he comes to the city. This is a city that's up on the top of a hill. And as he goes through the city, he hears these people calling out. One of the voices that he hears calling out is an invitation. And the invitation is this from this lady called Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom's got a house up on the top of the hill. And in her house, it's a house that's complete. It's been beautifully prepared. The tablecloths in her dining room are laid out, beautifully pressed. And she's made preparations for people to come to dinner. In fact, she hasn't spared anything. She's gone out and got the best meat and the best wine. And her invitation is sent out by her maids to tell people in the city, come on, come to my house. All those people that are simple, all those people who need understanding, come to Lady Wisdom's house and you'll find wisdom. And you'll find purpose and meaning in life. Lady Wisdom has made great effort in her provisions. And she reaches out to all who listen. And the young man, as he goes along, he hears this invitation to come to Lady Wisdom's house. But he also hears this other invitation from someone who's high up on the hill as well. And this is the other woman. It's a woman called Woman Folly. And this woman, she hasn't made preparations for people. In fact, she's sitting just at the door of her house suggesting maybe that she's a bit lazy. In fact, her meal is not meat and wine. Her meal is just bread and water. In fact, it's bread that's been stolen and water that can be drunken in secret. There's sort of allusions here to seductiveness. The young man, as he goes past, he hears this woman speaking and calling out, saying, "Come on in, come to my place. All you who are simple, come into my place. You'll get some cheap thrills here." But the young man has to make a decision. Is he going to go to the woman who's offering him wisdom, or is he going to go to the woman who is foolish, woman follies house? Here's the choices that he has to make. Let's compare these two quickly. Next slide, thanks, Ian. First of all, the woman folly, woman with wisdom. So you have an invitation, and the invitation goes out, and she's made a great effort in making her provisions. She makes a great effort to reach those who will listen. She wants you to have the best life possible. Comparison, we've got the woman folly. Well, she hasn't made preparations at all. She's made no real effort. She competes with Lady Wisdom for the souls of men and women. And she's known for adulterous ways. She promises much but delivers the worst life possible. In fact, she says, "Are you confused about life? Don't you know what's going on?" The woman folly says, "Why don't you sneak off with me? I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life." But they don't know about all the skeletons in her closet, and all the guests end up in hell. This is the choice that the young man is given, and it's a choice that's given to us as well. How will we decide? Will we choose wisdom or will we choose folly? Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? A wisdom that provides for us long life and prosperity. A life that will give us direction in life. Or a life that's going to end up in a breakdown and hurt and harm. Reminds me of another dinner. A dinner we read about in Luke 14, where the invitations go out, "Come to my banquet." But there are people there who say, "I'm too busy. You know, I've got to mow the lawn, I've got to wash the car, I've got bills to pay, I've got things to do. I've got a busy life, I've got a family to raise, I've got a job to do. I'll get to serving God later on. I'll get to seeking wisdom perhaps later on." That's the choice that we're forced to make. And it's a choice that all of us this morning are faced with. I'd like to finish this morning just by giving us three quick applications of this book of Proverbs. The first one is, a wise person is a learning person, a person who asks for help. So seeking wisdom is not so much a goal to be attained, it's a posture of humility. It's a willingness to receive instruction. It's a recognition that we're a person in process, that we're not finished product. We're prepared to receive instruction, that we're open to learning. No matter how old we are, whether we're just a child sitting here this morning, or whether we're someone more advanced in years, we're ready to ask for help and to learn, particularly to ask for help from God and the guidance of His Holy Spirit. The second application is that we're to love one's neighbour, that wisdom is revealed in action. In Proverbs, in the first three verses, we're told that wisdom and reading the Proverbs helps us to find out what is right and just and fair. And this is shown in how we treat other people. Particularly, perhaps, in Proverbs, we see in the use of our speech, how we talk about other people. Do we gossip about them? Do we swear? Do we use unkind words? Or do we use words that build up and encourage people? That's one way to love our neighbour. It's also shown in the way we use our wealth and resources. How do we use the things that God has given to us and blessed us with? And how do we use our resources and gifts in times of help or need to help other people, those that are hurting and helpless? That's one way that we'll apply these proverbs and this wisdom. And thirdly, the fear of the Lord. Well, here we are asked to acknowledge God's gracious authority. The fear of God is the first principle of knowledge rejected by the fool, who despises wisdom and discipline. The fool is his own authority. He says, I can make it through life by myself. I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I don't need anyone to give me guidance. I'll decide myself and make my own way. Maybe we do it in more subtle ways than that. But basically what we're saying is we're rejecting any advice or any guidance that God might give us. Well, the book of Proverbs finishes chapter 31, verse 30, talking about a woman who's beautiful. And it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She's no fool. She shows in her practice. She shows in the way that she lives her life the embodiment of wisdom or the character of wisdom. So the book of Proverbs we begin today is an exciting journey. But we need to remember it's not just a book on self-improvement. It's not just follow these rules and you'll be a better person. What we're embarking on is a search for wisdom that finds its beginning and its end in the wisdom and fear of God. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning and we admit before you that there are things that are beyond our understanding and our knowledge, things too deep for us to even comprehend at times, things that we can't work out. And we admit, Lord, that there are things in our lives that we can't solve. We need your help. We need you to help us, Lord, to seek after your wisdom and to fear you, to put you first. Help us, Lord, as we come to read through this book of Proverbs, to learn from you. Help us not to shut ourselves away or to shut our minds from learning. We pray that you would teach us and help us to grow more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.